If you enjoy ABC Family holiday movies, then this is the podcast for you.
Because we're a fact and fandom. That sums up the book very nicely.
It does, doesn't it?
Funny is that a lot of these books, or a lot of these stories that we're going to talk about today, are not really cute with the bow tied on top.
No.
But they all give that, like, holiday feel, that warm, fuzzy feeling in your gut.
They do. I got it, and it just made me feel so happy. It was like one of those books that I didn't want to put it down. I wanted to keep reading it. And I don't do short stories. So this was a surprise for me. And I just loved it.
I've discovered that I do short stories when they're by my favorite authors. For those of you who kind of don't know what we're talking about, we are taking a break from the Divergent World today to review
my book gave to me, 12 Holiday Stories, edited by Stephanie Perkins, and written by, I shall read this all for you, written by Holly Black, Allie Carter, Matt DeLaPena, Gail Forman, Jenny Hahn, David Levithan, Kelly Link, Myra McIntyre, whatever, Stephanie Perkins, Rainbow Rowell, Lilini Taylor, and Kirsten White.
Lainey there Taylor. You go.
I never say her name right.
So that's what we're doing.
Indeed. And who doesn't love the holiday season? And by who doesn't love the holiday season, I mean who doesn't find it frustrating and overwhelming and exhausting.
But still really, really happy.
There's that, yeah.
Most of the time.
I enjoy it.
I don't know. I definitely enjoy these stories, though. They were really cool.
They were. I love these stories. Like I was saying, I bought the book, and then I read the first one, which was Midnight by Rainbow Rowell, which, oh my god, just threw
way to get his emotions high at the start of the book here.
It just threw me for a loop. I just sat there and I read it and was like, I can't deal with how fucking cute you are.
If you want to sell an anthology, then you put Rainbow Rowell's feature the first thing you read so that people are hooked. I mean, that's just, they learned that right off the bat.
But honestly, I probably would have been hooked with almost any of these. I would have been hooked with a lot of them. I mean, I don't know a lot of these authors, but I really enjoyed all of them.
There's a good mixture in there. There's people I've heard of, people I have read before, and people I've never heard of before. So, it's a good mixture of themes and stories and, like, plots and things like that.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and start off then. I guess we're just going to go through each one and kind of give our little review of that, right?
Sure. I like this plan.
Those of you who have not read My True Love Gave to Me, you're welcome to listen, but to really get the full experience, we recommend that you stop, go read it, and then come back, because this book was adorable.
Because it's too cute for fucking words. Excuse me.
It was so cute. So, Midnights by Rainbow Rowell.
I read it a while ago, but I just remember reading it and going, this is what I want in my life. That was what I wanted in my life. Maybe not quite, you know, to the point of feeling like the person that I really loved was in, like, love with, like, 5 other people. But I just, you know, I want to be able to say that I know someone so well that we'll just sit there and talk about their allergies for 3 hours and be okay and not dance.
To really understand the full effect of this little story, you've got to understand that Rainbow Rowell is a fucking genius. I don't know how she does it. Ever stereotypical, it's never fake, it's never corny, but it's never disappointing. And
No, that's a lie. It is always corny. There is something always corny about her books, and I love everything about them.
On top of being corny, it's so real. Like, there's not... I would venture to say that this story is not one of the ABC Family Christmas, you know, Lifetime Movie Network specials.
I don't know. I think they can do it. Frankie was adorable. I want a Frankie in my life.
Oh, she's cute. Mags is just one of those people that you love. And then the freaking, oh my God, what's his name?
Noel. I think it's a boy, so it must be Noel.
But he's just, I mean, doesn't everybody, there's high school crushes.
Yeah.
And then there's the people that you actually stick with through high school into college. And that's kind of the glory of this story, is that they're such good friends that they stayed all through the years.
My favorite lines from this story was, I'm looking at it now, is Noel was her very best friend, even if she wasn't his. Noel was her person.
She uses that line in Landline as well, yeah.
I think she got that. I think she watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy. Everyone should have a person.
I want to know how Amber Rowell writes such sexy chemistry.
It's sexy chemistry without actually being sexy.
It's not provocative, and it's not weird. It just makes you really go, God, these characters, what is this doing to me?
Yeah. Ugh. It just, this story broke my heart and put it all back together again.
They're adorable. What did you think about the timelines?
You know, it wasn't a huge problem for me because it jumped in a way that made sense.
I think she did a good job explaining kind of each year within each.
Definitely. It wasn't jarring or overwhelming. It was just one night every year.
It wasn't too much, but it was just enough.
Exactly.
I'm ready to read the rest of this book, though. I mean, a lot of these stories, I felt, did a good job of opening and closing where they were, and it was a short little segment, a little nugget of a piece, and I thought it was good. And then there were some stories in here that I reread, maybe more than two or three times, wanting more. Like, I just want to read the rest of what's going to happen after this.
I feel like this could be an ABC Family Christmas movie. Just because you can expand so much. You can do more years.
And she can even keep the writing style she's got going with the each New Year's.
Yes.
You know? Like for the next 5 years.
Indeed.
I would love everything about that. So overall, what do you rate?
On a scale of 1 to 10?
10 being the best?
10 being the best. I would probably rate this at like a 7 or an 8. It's up there. It hit a lot of my buttons that I loved.
What are your cons then? What's the one thing that kept it from being a 10?
You know, I tend to be really choosy with my 10s. It has to really wow me. I mean, it definitely pulled me into the book, and it made me want to read short stories, which I don't normally do. Mm-hmm. And I loved Mags and Noel. I don't know. I think I just, you know, a lot of it was I just wanted more.
I thought it was really good the way it was, but yeah, I wanted more. I think that's going to be one of the problems with any short story, is that if it's really, really good, it's going to make you want more.
Definitely.
I agree with you. I think I would rate it an 8, 8.5, maybe a 9.
Okay.
I feel like I'm kind of like you, that I can't quite make it a 10 because it's not perfect. Because I want a whole book on this.
Yeah.
So let's say in short story perspective.
Okay.
I'd probably rate it like a 10.
Yeah, I might go higher. I think I'm going to stick with an 8.
Let's go on to The Lady and the Fox by Kelly Link.
This was fascinating.
Found it fascinating? I found it confusing. I like reread some lines over and over again thinking, okay.
I definitely reread it immediately.
Well, yeah, because, okay, the thing that gets me is I get this whole Peter Pan vibe thing going on where he only shows up to her, you know, at a certain time, and only her or something like that. But then, and he never ages. But then she's got this whole side thing going with the
not cousin.
Yeah, he's like the not cousin. That's a good answer. That's a good description. And then at the end, there's like this whole magical Snow Queen transfiguration thing going on. You're just like, where did that come from? I felt like it confused me.
And yeah, exactly. The end was just so shocking. Because you just sit there like this, and you're like, wait, what? You have to go back again.
This lady who has what's his name in her grasp. I don't remember any of their names. I didn't write it down. But whoever she is, she's like the big Snow Queen-esque character at the end of the story.
Yeah.
If we had her throughout the story, I feel like I would have understood a little bit more of their relationship and what role she played.
I needed more of his story. And I needed maybe less of hers.
Yes. Like a dual perspective would have been a little nice.
It would have been perfect. I would have really enjoyed that. I don't know. It was just so... I can't think of a better word except interesting, because it was... I wasn't expecting that. But then again, I've never read Kelly Link.
Neither have I. I never heard of Kelly Link before.
Neither have I, which is probably... So maybe my... Maybe it wouldn't have been so shocking if we'd read some of her books.
And understood her style and things like that. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So, I should read now some of her
Overall,
books.
Overall, she's got good rapport with the rest. I mean, as far as the book goes, if her name's in here, I'd probably give this story 4 stars.
Out of 10?
Maybe 3. Out of 10.
I was going to go for like a 5.5, 6.
Again, I didn't dislike it. I would have enjoyed it more if I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at my notes here. I call him Peter Frost because I couldn't tell if he was a Peter Pan or a Jack Frost. So that's what I went with here.
He's like neither.
He's these two people, but he's so not at the same time. It's okay, hold on. Now, it's not my least favorite story, so maybe I should give it a 4.5.
Yeah, definitely not my least favorite story.
I'll give it a 4.5.
Okay. So, Angels of No.
By Matt De La Pena.
I knew Matt De La Pena going into it. So, I knew the tone of what to expect.
Okay.
So, this wasn't as shocking to me as Kelly Link was. And it was kind of, I mean, this is definitely not an ABC Family movie, like, at all.
I don't think so, no.
It's very cute.
Maybe MTV movie?
No, you know what it is? It's an expansion on his life that would make it a Lifetime original movie.
Oh, yeah, because then it'd be, like, the struggle.
Yeah.
Now, I really did like the tone of Matt De La Pena. I've never read him before, but, I really liked the Espinoso dialect.
Yeah.
I mean, you can really read it, and I don't want to call it the language, like the Spanish language, but you can read the culture in everything that he writes. Yeah. Doubt in my mind that this author went through some stuff.
That was one of those things going into it. I knew, regardless of what it was called and where it was set, my mind was there is going to be a Hispanic aspect to this book, to this short story, because that is who Matt De La Pena is. And that is what he wants to represent in young adult fiction. But I fully respect that, and that was me kind of going into it knowing that that was going to be very heavily present. And I am so white, it hurts. So I can't really, like, I have no real experience. I'm like, I don't know what he's going through. I've never been that hungry before. I don't know. I just don't know. So, but I get it reading Matt De La Pena. I understand.
Even and I understand not being...
I kind of get, like, a cultural reason behind why he's not telling her that he's hungry.
Yeah. I mean, I get... the narrator, I think his culture plays a lot into that, but I also think he did a good job touching on the life of a college student. As a general rule, no matter what ethnicity you are, thousands, millions of college students struggle.
Sure.
Just to get by. And like in New York, when he came from like
sunny
like
California.
Yeah. I got a lot of, you know, I had to read the Freedom Riders in school. So I got a lot of vibes from that in here. Because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is California kid going to New York. But no, I would really love to read more of his stuff just because reading this, reading the Freedom Riders, another book I really liked that had a lot of cultural diversity was The Absolute True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. It's super good. It's really, really, really good. These kinds of books that you learn so much from and you really kind of open your eyes to are really great. And like after reading this, I'm like blown away and I get why diversity in books is such a big deal, such a big trend.
Yeah.
Because it's something you need.
I know, I really enjoyed it.
I think it's kind of stereotyping the poor Spanish kid with the rich white girl, but I guess that had to play into, you know, to both of their stories. You know, she had to open up and leave that, and he had to open up.
It did, yeah.
So that would be my only critique on that.
That makes sense.
I definitely wouldn't mind going to read more of his stuff.
No.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
I enjoyed the subheadings. Each kind of tackled a different part of the story.
When you say subheading, you mean like the little titles?
Yeah, what would it be like?
Yeah.
No, I liked it because it really focused that part of the short story.
So it was good for transitioning then?
Yeah. So I liked it. I would probably give it a 5, maybe a 6.
Yeah, I was thinking about 6 stars.
Probably a 6.
I liked it.
I did really enjoy it.
What did you think of the next one? Polaris is Where You'll Find Me by Jenny Han.
Polaris.
Thank you, Polaris. Don't laugh at me.
No, I'm trying to phrase this well. I liked it. It was weird.
Okay.
Probably, potentially, my least favorite.
It's my least favorite, too. I will venture out and say that I actually didn't like this story.
I liked the idea of it.
I agree with you on that. But at the same time, I didn't think it was very original either.
No. Santa Claus adopts a girl and brings her up in the North Pole with the elves. And hilariously, she falls in love with an elf.
Mm-hmm.
Who can't fall in love with her because of reasons. It felt a little forced in places, and I kind of felt like I was forcing myself to read it.
I get that. I feel like it should have either been really fluffy or really dramatic.
Yeah.
Like, it felt dry to me. I felt like there should have been more of something to make me want to keep going with it.
You know what I needed? I needed more Santa.
They could have done more with Santa, yeah. Yeah, they did a lot with the elves, a lot with her.
Except they didn't really do a lot with the elves. They just kind of vaguely mentioned them.
I know, but like the majority of what she did was with the elves.
Yeah, it was not my favorite.
I don't know. My favorite part was she talked about her Norwegian friend.
I liked the Norwegian friend. That was the best part.
He's the only character I felt had emotion. Is that bad?
No. I'm feeling it. It was a bland story that had so much potential.
Quick question. So, Polaris, that's the name of the North...
No, that's the name of the star. That's the North Star.
Oh my god. Okay, got it. Thanks for clarifying that. I learned something new every day.
So,
what would you rate this book, story? I keep thinking of books.
Like a 3.5.
I give it a solid 3.
It just had so much potential, and I wanted to like it.
It was rough. I'm yawning over here. See that? No offense to Jenny Han.
None whatsoever.
I'll check her out again, just to see.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on to what we're waiting for here. It's Yuletide Miracle Charlie Brown by Stephanie Perkins.
I loved this story so hard.
Oh my god. It's my favorite.
It's my favorite.
Rainbow Rowell comes a close second, but I didn't read the Rainbow Rowell story 5 times.
Read this a couple times.
I had a hard time getting past the book because I kept having to reread it. Okay, no, I'm sorry. So, going through these books.
I wanted more of this story.
I want
a book dedicated to these two people because love them.
They were fan-freaking-tastic.
They're so fucking cute. For God's sake, his name is North.
I think I've either met somebody named North or heard this name on a television show at some point, and I thought, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would you name your kid North?
Okay.
Isn't there a celebrity child named North?
In the case of Kanye and Kim and their child Northwest, stupid name.
That's what I'm thinking of.
But this kid, I love this kid.
Oh my gosh, he's adorable.
I want one.
Oh my god. Okay, so what you love about it?
I love that it wasn't just fluff. I love that he rearranged their apartment.
Forcibly so, too.
I loved that it took them forever to get to the point where she was like, okay, really, the reason I'm stalking you is because I need your voice.
Yeah.
I need you to do a thing for me.
I love it. I love the Christmas tree.
I love picking. The Christmas tree.
What a great opener. I love her style. She's wearing milkmaid braids.
She's so cute.
I love his style because he's like the big lumberjack guy, but he's a geeky lumberjack guy who like does radio and listens to freaking podcasts. Plug there. He's like 10 points already in my book right now.
I love the bits where they actually talked about Charlie Brown getting a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It's just so cute. She's like, but they're so short. And he goes, yeah, because he was short.
Both of them have so much sass. Like, I love the part where she's like, he was kind of thrown off because I didn't give him a smart-ass reply. Like, well, obviously, because that's all y'all been doing. Y'all been snarking at each other the whole time.
I know.
But it works. And it's great. But you can definitely see her, the repeating theme. What's her name,
Marigold.
Thank you. Marigold has, you know, she wants to be like a film, like an animation film something, and she wants to move to Atlanta.
Yep.
So you kind of see this Anna Ollie Fink character in her somewhere. Her little film nerdness.
Yeah. It's definitely very Stephanie Perkins. North is a combination of everything I loved about St. Clair and Cricket and Josh.
Oh, really? See, I thought he was his own. I thought he held his own pretty well.
He does hold his own pretty well, but I feel like there's definitely elements of the three of them in North. He has his own special thing. None of them are lumberjacks, and none of them live in the country in a town that practically has no name.
True. He just kind of forces herself on her. Not like, you know, in a rude way, but he takes the tree up the stairway.
He doesn't just take the tree up the stairs. Oh, and then he walks in and he goes, you've been living in this death trap for a year.
I have to clean this.
I need this. This cannot be. My tree cannot be in a situation like this.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's my tree. I paid for it. Oh no, he calls it a pit of death.
They are so funny. I felt like I could have just read this for hours on end.
Hours.
I'm still reading it. Before we started, I'm like sitting here.
I just
know it's good.
It's just my favorite. I think it's arguably the longest story in here.
I think so too. I'm with you on that. I think it is one of the longest ones.
I think it's
I'm completely fine with.
I'm totally fine with that. It was just so incredibly adorable. And I loved it.
They're like all kinds of whimsical and hipstery and
it was perfect. You know what? This is as close to a 10 as I'm going to be able to give this book.
Oh, this is a 10. This is a 10 for me. Stephanie Perkins is always a 10 in my book.
It was just, it was so wonderful.
I've come to discover that I will read anything Stephanie Perkins ever chooses to write. I feel like the girl off of The Fault in Our Stars. I'll read her freaking grocery list if she posts it.
Let's, she's great on Tumblr.
I mean, we should talk about it somewhere, but we do need to move on.
We do.
Your Temporary Santa by David Levithan.
It was really cute.
It was cute and it was different.
Because like it was gay. A breath of
fresh air.
It was gay.
Oh, yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
I had to start listening to it again because I'm like, wait a second. Originally, I thought the narrator was just a really chunky girl playing Santa. I was like, hold on here. Is this what we're going with?
It's a dude. I find that I can't read a lot of David Levithan. I like him, and I enjoy his writing style, and this is absolutely nothing about his subject choices. I just find that his writing style is not for me. Like, his tone, his voices, I feel, just were not, they're just not for me. And that was part of the problem as to why I had a really, I still have a really hard time with Will Grayson. But that said, this was so cute.
Pretty darn
cute. It was just perfect. It was like the perfect amount of cute and adorbs and a happy ending. Despite the little sister's bitchiness.
I thought that worked out well for them because if they didn't have something kind of raw and real to throw in there,
yeah,
I would have felt like it didn't succeed what it was trying to do, and I thought it did a really good job of executing that. You know, she was mad because they didn't have their dad anymore, and, you know, he's trying to take that place, and he's not going to, and she's just a little pissed off at the world. And
yeah.
Okay. I kind of wanted more from it in the sense that I wanted to keep reading. It left me hanging a little bit.
It did.
But given the allotted page count that he had, I thought it did a good job starting and ending with a point.
Really well done.
What is your overall rating?
I'm going to give it a 6 because I enjoyed it, but it was not up there.
I thought it was pleasant enough, but I have a hard time wanting to go read more David Levithan because of it. I might rate it a 5.
Given the fact that I've read David Levithan before, I knew what I was getting into, so I knew that I'd enjoy it, but that it probably wasn't going to be my favorite.
Okay. It's different. It's not my favorite story, but I like what it adds to the anthology.
Yes.
It gives it like a breath of fresh air, and a lot of these stories are like that. They're okay, but as far as having like a collection of stories, I think it does a good job rounding it off.
It does. I feel like it does. You're right. What would you rate it as?
The thing is, I rated Matt De La Pena a 6. And I want to rate this a 6, but I liked Matt De La Pena more. So I may have to bump him up to a 7. And rate David Levithan's a 6. Probably should have written these down at some point, but
that's okay.
That's what I got.
Awesome.
Okay, here we go. Number 7, Krampus Lauf by Holly Black.
I'm going to start this off by saying I like Holly Black, and I like her kind of twisted. I like that she didn't do a traditional Christmas story.
Okay.
But it was really fucking weird.
See, I loved it. I loved all of it. I thought it was great.
I enjoyed it, but I find it really weird.
Of diversity for the whole book. Like, I thought it was a great addition to that.
It was. Because I didn't understand what just happened. I had to go back and reread it immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, aside from Peter Pan, Jack Frost, we talked about earlier, I actually thought this was spot on. Like, I enjoyed every minute of it. I didn't know what a Krampus Lauf was. I did have to look that up. But I
I thought they did a good job of explaining that. I love that it had to do with revenge.
Yep.
You know, this guy is cheating on his girlfriend, so her best friends decide they're going to go and rub his nose in it. And they meet some dark-ass demon who helps them do that. I mean, it's...
That was great. I did enjoy that.
I mean, like, he's got this whole centaur thing going, I feel, you know? He's got this, like, super hot body devil man with horns coming out of his head.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm, like, having a really hard time putting this into words. Because I did enjoy it. But I did have to put the book down after I read it.
Like, what was this?
I needed to process. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this was great. This was fantastic. I need to, like, take a minute. It was kind of like a thick 6.5 for me.
I'm going to rate Krampuslauf a 7.5, maybe.
Okay.
Because I did really like it.
I loved the party that they threw. And I loved that it actually worked. And it was fantastic that they pulled it off in this tiny-ass little trailer in the middle of a trailer park. I loved that aspect of it probably more than anything else, that they pulled off this ridiculously high-class party.
On $200.
On $200 and change. It was perfect.
Have you ever been to a party in a trailer before?
No.
There's something to be said. If you have ever actually gone to a deserted trailer to have a party, which when you live in, like, the country, people do all the time. I don't know. I feel like it's such a Southern thing, but maybe that's me.
Well, no, it probably is a very Southern thing, because the thing about living in New England is that we have parties in the woods.
Yeah. There is something very unclean, not even unclean, unsanitary about having a high school party with a ton of your friends in a deserted trailer and trying to dress it up like that. And it's funny how much it fits the story.
Yeah.
Knowing what these parties are like, I feel like I have, like, a sense of relation with this at some point. Not that I have done my fair share of trailer parties. I've done it once in my life, maybe. But one time was all it took.
One time was all you need.
I love that this story tied in, like, you know, the magical, paranormal kind of aspect in there. And see, I have never read Holly Black, but I'm going to have to pick her up.
Coldest Girl in Cold Town. That's the book you should read it first. The Coldest Girl.
Coldest Girl in Cold Town. I've heard of that.
It's unreal.
Isn't that the blue book with a picture of a hand on the cover?
Yes, it is.
It's on my TBR list. I'll have to bump it up there.
It's really good.
Moving on to What the Hell Have You Done, Sophie Roth? By Gail Forman.
You know what I love? Really like. This is tied for me with Stephanie Perkins, with Rainbow Rowell. These are like eights. I loved this one. I mean, it's accurate. It's exactly what you think would happen. You go to college from the big city. You go to college from New York to the, as she calls it, University of Bumfuckville. It's just, it's a whole nother universe that you walked into. And I feel like that's the way it is for college, period. It's a whole other universe, and you just don't know what you're getting yourself into. I loved the apple pie and cheese. I loved that they had conversations and that he was trying to make it he was trying to make it Hanukkah for her.
I think it's kind of cool.
I thought that was so cute.
And I feel bad that the only thing I know about Hanukkah are dreidels and latkes.
You learned something about that in this book.
Yeah, I learned a whole lot more with that. And I love the diversity of the holidays in here. It doesn't touch on just one or just two. It doesn't stay just neutral either. It touches all aspects.
Yeah.
So I'm thoroughly enjoying all that.
I just thought it was so cute.
I loved the theme, and I loved the characters individually, but they didn't resonate with me.
Really? Because I felt like she resonated with me.
I like writing it down on paper, I feel like it was supposed to be really good. And like trying to explain it, it sounds really good. But it didn't really sink in. It wasn't dry. It wasn't bad dialogue. It wasn't bad plot. I don't know why. Wasn't my cup of tea.
You know, and I didn't expect to like this one because I find Gail Forman to be overly sentimental sometimes in her writing.
Oh, really?
Now, she wrote If I Stay. You know, I liked it as I was reading it, and then afterwards I thought about it and was like, it wasn't great. But this was not what I expected out of her. And I just really enjoyed it because I found Sophie to be very mean. I have a deep love of Russell. I loved him.
He's cool. He's all kinds of cool, isn't he?
I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest with myself, I need a Russell. So, yeah, this was definitely one of my favorites. What about you? What do you think about it?
Again, I thought the progression was good. I thought the timing and the theme and the plot, all great things. And I had a hard time writing out what I did and didn't like about it because as I was writing it, I realized this is all good things. Why don't I like it more? And it just didn't, I don't know. I didn't connect with it as much as I should have, which it sucks because it's a girl in college. Again, like you said, this is truth right here. She's in college and she thinks it's one thing and it's a complete other. But by the end of the experience, she realizes she needs to open herself up a little bit, and that's kind of the whole point. And I love that she finally finds someone who's just as sarcastic as she is, and she's like, maybe I just didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Like she was too blindsided for her own good to realize what was in front of her. But I didn't care for the characters. And I'm like this a lot of the time. If your characters don't make me feel something, if I don't have a emotional connection to them, then typically I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
Overall, I would give it 5 stars.
Okay.
Still good, I think. I just wasn't good for me.
Right. I'm giving it an 8 because I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it really did resonate with me.
But you liked it more than Gail Forman's other stuff, right?
I did. I liked it much more. Next is Beer Buckets and Baby Jesus.
By Myra McIntyre. I don't think I know where the beer buckets came from.
It's from the space where they're doing the show.
They have the travelers come in?
They serve the place where they do it is they serve fried chicken and beer in feed buckets.
Okay. I must have missed that part because I was they won't get the beer buckets part of the title.
Yeah.
But okay, I have to say I really, really, really loved this story.
It was really sweet.
It was really cute. You know, I loved that I thought it was going to be some type of Walk to Remember storyline.
Yep.
And as it progressed, it so was not.
So was not.
I love the narrator. I love his character and the fact that he didn't have a troubled backstory. He was just one of these guys who loved chaos.
Yep.
He likes to see, he's smart and he sees, puzzles and he loves to see chaos and how people react to that. And people assume that he's going to be this bad kid, and so that's just the role he plays, because why the hell not if everyone's already going to think you're bad?
Mm-hmm.
So many people have that problem. When you don't have the energy to fight to be something different because everybody already judges you.
Yeah.
I loved him. I thought that was great. And I loved her.
Ugh.
Gracie, yeah. I thought she was cool too.
Very cool. You know what? I kind of, in like a sideline kind of way, I liked the idea of Shelby.
Really?
Yeah. I like that Gracie was Shelby's cover for his real girlfriend.
I was thinking his cover up for being gay.
I'm looking at the page right now. She's a very nice liberal feminist Christian named Ellie from New Jersey.
And then I love his line. Do they make liberal feminist Christians?
They make all kinds.
Like, I laughed so hard at this book, at this dialogue. I actually, like, live blogged it while I was reading, quote, this book. It was so good.
It's so cute.
I love the religious pull in here,
mm-hmm.
simply because they're not judgmental Christians.
That you would expect from the set.
Yeah, like they have a swear jar, and her dad uses it to take him to Harry Potter world. And it's not even about the fact that you can have Christians that are different. It's the fact that his character, her dad, he's more of a pastor than a preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's totally a difference. Pastors are comforting and are meant to guide you in your life, whereas preachers strictly teach. And I felt like he was a really good character to kind of show that side of religion and what that's about. And I was really happy that they showed that. Like, this is the kind of people I want to be around in my walk of faith. I think that was awesome.
It's just a really sweet story.
Mm-hmm. It's sweet. It's super funny.
I love that
it's so not stereotypical.
I love that it snowed at Christmas in the South.
It never snows in the South.
It
never snows in Texas anyway. I can't speak for any other state, but I'm going to go on a whim and say that it doesn't snow in the South.
I'll just sit there and go, you know what? When it snows in the South, I was living in Virginia during the winter, and it snowed like maybe half an inch, and the entire freaking city shut down. I was like, seriously, people?
That's a big deal.
It's not, though, because I had literally moved from Virginia to Virginia from Connecticut, where there were like 7 feet of snow on the ground.
And people are still, like, functioning throughout the day. Like, schools aren't shut down. Businesses aren't shut down.
Once the roads are clear, the schools open back up.
Oh, my God. What if you can't get out of your house? Like, my door is not even 7 feet tall, I don't think.
Oh, that's what shovels are for.
Oh, my God.
And second floor windows.
Oh, my goodness. It gets icy, but it never snows. And I would love it if we have, like, an inch. I just liked it a lot. Above all things, I liked that he wanted to kiss her and she told him no, not yet. Yeah. Like,
yes.
Thank you for throwing that in there.
Yeah.
And just showing that there is a thing called saying no, and it works. I thought that was nice.
Yeah. And I like that he wants to take her on a date. I'm going to buy you a steak first. I'm vegetarian. I'll buy you a salad.
Oh my gosh, it's great.
It's adorable. They're just the cutest.
I loved the story. I've never heard of Myra McIntyre before, but I had to go on Goodreads and research her and figure out what she writes, because I'm going to have to read some more stuff by her now.
Yeah, I'm going to have to read.
It's all really, really good stuff. Well, overall, I'd give it 8 stars.
Yeah, I'm going to go with like a 7. Because I really enjoyed it, but at the same time, you know, it snowed. I was shutting down. Sorry. Snowing. What's wrong with you?
Alyssa's just, like, not having it. She thinks it's so ridiculous. She loves it.
I do.
Like, snowing? Let's shut down the interstate and block traffic for the whole country.
But that's because I'm in New England, so what do you want from me? Next is Welcome to Christmas, California.
By Kirsten White.
I liked the opening. If you do a search for U.S. cities named Christmas, which, get a life, weirdo, you'll get 5 main results. I loved that. I thought that was fantastic.
It's a good way to, like, catch your attention firsthand.
Mostly I like the parentheses, get a life, weirdo. I said strange people who want to live in Christmas.
But I love that it's, none of these people are weird. They're your typical small town. Like, she opens a diner that themes in Christmas. Like, who does that?
Someone who lives in a small town.
I get why they're so annoyed, because everyone is annoyed with Christmas.
Nobody
Not everyone, but a lot of people are very bah humbug because it's just too much for them. People oversell it, and this girl is living in it. But then she meets Ben, which is convenient.
Yeah.
Because I kept trying to guess his name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is Ben short for? And if she starts out being the bah humbug, and by the end of the story you find out his name is Ebenezer, that's nice. Well played. Good job.
I thought that was so fantastic.
I did not even see that one coming. Like, who names their kid? Oh my god, that was crazy.
I did not see that one coming at all.
I'm thinking like Benjamin or Bernard or...
I don't know. Anything but Ebenezer.
Is Ben even in Ebenezer? I'm explaining it out in my head thinking, does he even spell the word Ben?
Yeah.
No, but I love her and her Spanish family, and I love that she's got this stepdad that she doesn't think cares about them, and then you find out in the end that he's been saving his whole life so that she can go to college, and he's, like, trying to learn Spanish for her and her mom. I think out of all of the stories, this one felt most like a Christmas story to me.
You know, it really did, because it felt the most like... a Christmas movie.
I felt like it had the Christmas spirit really woven into the plot line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this town full of people who are grouchy, and they get this one cook who comes in and changes everybody and makes everyone feel welcome and at home.
Yeah.
I love that it was about her and her family more so than her and this Ben guy. It was a family story, not just a love story. I liked it a lot.
One of my favorite lines from the story was, cinnamon is not a controlled substance.
I know.
It was so classically fantastic and, like, so ABC Christmas movie.
But still original. How does that happen? Like, it's still very classic but very original to me. I don't know why.
I don't know, but it was just perfect. It was exactly, I mean, he guessed what people wanted. How did that even work? How does he do that? I don't even know.
And am I the only one who still wants to know what he went to prison for? Or what he went to juvie for?
I want to know.
Like, I'm still trying to guess. How does a guy who hates Christmas originally go to juvie and cook and come out, like, full of life?
Yeah.
What happened? What put him in there to begin with? What was his deal? What was his game? I don't know. But I really, really enjoyed it. I would give it a solid 7.
I would give it a solid 7.
It really does get you into the Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Star of Bethlehem by Allie Carter.
It was cute.
That was cute. I thought it was... Forgive me. I thought it was very Hannah Montana.
That's just the way she writes. You know what the problem is? I love Allie Carter.
You do?
I love her.
And like, it may be because that's the way the story was written, like, just the plot, but I liked it enough. I guess I feel like it was too rushed. This all happened over the course of 1 week, when mm-hmm. it should have happened over the course of, like, a month.
Yeah, there is that. I just thought it was cute.
I thought it was cute, too. I felt like there was more of a connection between her and the aunt than there was between her and the guy. Which I guess, you know, makes sense because the aunt is the one who's, like, keeping her in her house. But
yes,
the guy is the reason she's there. I figured he would be the one to kind of dive into her story more than the aunt.
Well, I just thought it was cute. I mean, it wasn't a great story for Allie Carter. It wasn't the best I just thought it was cute. It was definitely very, I felt it was very ABC Family.
I like the part where he is telling her, she's like, well, where's the nearest town? He's like, well, what's your definition of town?
Yeah.
You know, like 50 miles this way, there's that, and an hour and a half that way, there's that, and about 20 miles down the road this way, you'll find the nearest, like, gas station, but not a hospital, and, like, oh my gosh, they're such, they're, like, in the boonies, it's the best.
Exactly.
We literally live in legit country. I loved it.
Yeah. It's great. Adorbs.
Even though it seemed very Hannah Montana to me, I would have loved to see her have trouble adjusting.
Yeah, I felt, yeah, you're right. There should have been a little bit more anxiety.
Or revealing bits and pieces along the way so that we kind of get the mystery of it all. What was her name? It was a short name.
Liddy?
Yeah, Liddy. It was still really good.
Oh, it was a sweet tale.
It was very cute. I just felt like they could have done more with it. Overall, I would give Star of Bethlehem 5 stars.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 5.5.
Which brings us to our last one.
Our very last story. That's kind of sad.
Kind of weird. It's kind of weird. Interesting. The Girl Who Woke the Dreamer by Lainey Taylor.
I had a hard time with this.
Hard time with it, too. I think it's the style of writing that really got me. Like, I get the character. I get that this world is a little bit different.
Yeah.
There's this dark aspect, and then she, like, calls out in her dreams, and I kind of get all of that, but it was really hard to read because the style of writing was just so flamboyant.
And that's the way she is. I really struggled through the last book of her trilogy because of it. I found, I don't know, it's just, she's so Dickensian in her verbosity. If you'll excuse my big words.
So you had to dumb it down for me because I did not get that.
Okay, so do you ever read Dickens?
I've tried reading Dickens. Does that count?
Dickens got paid by the word.
He did?
Yeah.
Good grief. No wonder it's so hard to get through.
Yeah. So when I read Lainey Taylor, I kind of get that Tolkien Dickensian thing going on because it's just she's so wordy.
She's very wordy.
She's really over-descriptive, and you kind of just sit there and go, I need you to use smaller sentences and less adjectives.
What's it called? The narrator of this story cracked me up, and I'm going to play like a piece for you just for a second.
It is the custom on the Isle of Feathers for young men to leave small gifts for their sweethearts.
It sounds very whispery, like the narrator just adds on to that. She totally fits. I totally get why they picked her as a narrator, but again, emphasizes that very poetic and...
Oh.
Like she's trying to sing while she's telling the story, it seems like.
Yeah.
But I like the concept. The concept of this thing is really cool. Like, I feel like she spent way too much time kind of setting up the island. I thought that the main character was a boy, and this whole book was going to be about the boys on the island.
Yeah.
Because she spent so much time talking about what happened to the boys on the island.
Yeah.
The direction of that was weird. I thought the intro was a little weird for me.
Yeah. No, it was an interesting story. Not my favorite.
Is very pagan. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah, but I feel like that's the way she is, generally. The way Gods and Monsters was. It was very polytheistic. It was a strange story. I'd give it a solid 5.
I think I'd give it like a 4. I really struggled getting through the last book, or the last story of this.
It was definitely a struggle.
It wasn't so much a struggle getting through it as it was, it's the last one, do I really have to read it? I really didn't, you know, didn't really catch my attention, so there wasn't anything after that that I really need to worry about.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I did finish it, because once I got into it, I kind of want to know what was going to happen.
Yeah, you definitely do want to know what's going to happen, but at the same time, you're just kind of sitting there going, Lady Taylor, you maybe need to stop using the thesaurus.
And that is it. That's book 12.
And, you know, despite the fact that there were stories in there that I was a huge fan of.
You sound like you're squeaking.
I apologize. I'm, like, moving my laptop. I'm sorry.
What is that? It sounds like a balloon.
Well, that's my phone. I think, so, yeah, like I said, like, despite the fact that there were stories that I was not, like, having pretty much at all, I really loved the book as a whole of short stories. It was as close to perfect as I was going to find.
Definitely a buy this book.
It's definitely a buy this book. It's a book where you just sit there and go, yes. Certainly our opinions are not the only opinions to be had. Mm-hmm. These are just opinions you've all have chosen to listen to.
It's a cute, when you want to get in the spirit of the holidays and you want to snuggle up with something when you're cold and it is snowing where you live, sometimes a good little cute fluff. And the thing is, because it's so diverse, you can find a little bit of everything in there. So whether you're in the mood for something cute and fluffy or something kind of dark or something kind of whimsical and magical, it's got it all.
Something not quite Christmas. It's just a great collection of short stories. It was everything I needed that I didn't know that I needed.
As Alyssa ties in her beginning statement with the end.
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, I thought it was cute.
I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's funny.
Oh, it's lovely. Plus, I do actually really love the American cover.
I think the American cover is really cute. It's not that I'm dissing that. I was just very excited about getting the UK cover.
I love the fact that here, all the people skating,
yeah,
are actually the characters in the book.
Really?
Yeah. See, look, there's Ben and Maria.
And her little diner outfit.
Exactly. Where are the other people that I love? There's David Levithan's characters.
Oh, and then right next to them are Sophie Roth.
Yep. And then over here, we've got our lumberjack from Stephanie Perkins. It's great. It's so cute.
I didn't realize that you had all the characters ice skating together on the front cover. Now I kind of want the American edition. That is really adorable.
It's so cute.
Unreal. Like, the things these people put together are ridiculous. Like, how do they get us to pay money for all this?
I don't know.
I think that wraps us up.
I think it does.
I'm glad that we chose to do this little holiday review.
Me too. It's just a fun read.
If you come across something that's not your cup of tea, you can always skip over it.
Exactly.
To the next one, because they're only short stories.
Exactly. Like, I'm not sure I thought I'd like Myra McKinty's one.
I know. That one took me by surprise. Okay, so top three favorites.
It's Yuletide Miracle, Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Midnights. And What the Hell Have You Done, Sophie Roth.
And mine would have to be, it's Yuletide, Christmas Miracle, Charlie Brown, Midnights, and Beer Buckets and Baby Jesus.
Four and five would probably be Welcome to Christmas, California, and Beer Buckets and Baby Jesus.
I also really liked, Krampus Loft. He makes four. And then Welcome to Christmas, California would probably be five.
I loved most of it. There were three that I probably could have done without. I could have done without Lady and the Fox. I could have done without Polaris.
I could have done without The Girl Who Woke the Dreamer. Although I do again, I regret saying that, but I really did like the plot once she got into it.
Yeah, those are the three I probably could have done without.
Which, sad thing being, those are kind of the most magical ones.
They are the most magical. They were just weird.
In my opinion, and maybe that's just me, but I feel like when you're writing something that's got that genre of magic in there, it takes more to set it up.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're just trying to write realistic YA fiction, it's much easier to do.
Yes. Which is why I think Krampusoff worked, because it just kind of threw the magic in there at the end. And you were like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so I think our recommendations this week, or this time.
Oh, I haven't even thought of it.
Should not be book. Should be our favorite Christmas movie.
Thank you. Better. I was like, I can't think of any Christmas stories to recommend.
No. The theme was definitely Christmas movies.
It was. My top Christmas movies would probably be Elf and How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Nice. I'm going to go with the top three.
In that case, I'm going to go with Miracle on 34th Street.
Which one?
There's more than one?
The original or the one that they remade?
Which one has the girl from Matilda in it?
The remade one.
Then the remake.
Okay.
Okay, so I have one more. It's an honorary...
It's an honorary mention.
It's a Wonderful Life.
I do love It's a Wonderful Life.
Can't beat that.
You can't beat that. So my top three choices for Christmas movies are Love Actually, The Holiday, and
okay.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol, okay.
No. The Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Muppet Christmas Carol, really?
Yes.
That's adorable.
It is my favorite. And I watch Love Actually every year, and I watch The Holiday every year, and they make me happy. And then I'm going to do another throwback. I'm going to do another honorable mention, and that is White Christmas.
Okay.
Those are my go-to holiday movies.
Your go-to, to really get you in the spirit. Because sometimes it's not Christmas until you see a Christmas movie.
Well, to be perfectly blunt, it's not Christmas until I go to the church Christmas pageant.
Really?
Yeah.
Our kids did a church Christmas pageant this year, and it was about Duck Dynasty. It was the weirdest. I can't even.
That makes me so unhappy.
I know. I mean, okay, it wasn't about Duck Dynasty. It was about David. But they tied Duck Dynasty into that, and I was like,
that's so depressing.
Oh, man.
The kids in my church would have rebelled.
The kids in your church would have rebelled?
Oh, my God. No, the kids in my church freaking love the Christmas pageant.
Mm-hmm.
But it got really small for a while. And this year, we have, like, 53 kids in the pageant.
Wow. That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. It's about where it was when I was in the pageant.
You were in your own... Aw, it's so cute!
Dude, I was in the pageant for years. I still go to the church that I was baptized in. It has become really not difficult to get me to volunteer for things, and it's a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing. It's the season of giving, Alyssa.
All right.
Doing a good job.
Thanks.
But next time we get together, we're going to talk about some New Year's End review. And Alyssa's going to tell us what she thought about Mockingjay.
I am, because I finally saw it twice.
Good. Good deal.
All right.
So thank you so much for listening, guys. And definitely go and give us your feedback on like what you thought of My True Love Gave to Me or your favorite Christmas movies. Those are always fun, too.
Yep.
And we hope you all have a happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.